Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're fortunate to be diving into the work of Ed Reif, who's actually here with us.
Hi there. Great to be diving into these ideas.
We'll be exploring core concepts from Ed's poker quotes, blog posts, and his book, There Is No Limit, like, no limit.
Yeah, specifically looking at how ideas from poker can actually tell us a lot about, well, decision-making, mindset, and just growth in general.
Exactly. Our mission really is to unpack these principles, because even if you, listening, have never played a hand of poker, the ideas about uncertainty, mindset, risk, they're pretty universal, wouldn't you say? We want to give folks a shortcut to grasping some of this.
Absolutely. We want you to walk away with some, you know, useful insights. So where should we start maybe with that idea about comparison?
Well, no, yeah, the quote, "Compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today." Let's dig into that.
Right. It sounds simple, but in poker or really any competitive field, it's so easy to look sideways, you know?
Totally. You see someone winning and immediately start measuring yourself against them.
Yeah. And it's often pointless. You don't know their journey, their luck in that moment, their entire context. The only real yardstick is yourself.
So am I making better choices now? Am I handling tilt better than last month? That kind of thing.
Exactly that.
Mm.
Are you improving your process? That's the real question.
From a decision science angle, that makes perfect sense. Comparing externally,
yeah,
it introduces noise, right?
Yeah.
Envy, maybe feeling too good about yourself based on nothing solid.
Right. It messes with the feedback loop. Focusing on your own progress, your own past decisions, that gives you clean data to work with. Where did I mess up? Where did I improve?
Uh-huh.
And neurologically, it's interesting too. Focusing outward on others tends to light up those emotional centers. Comparison often breeds insecurity or, conversely, arrogance.
Okay.
But when you focus on your progress, that engages the prefrontal cortex more, you know, the rational planning part of the brain.
So focusing on self-improvement literally helps you think more clearly and strategically. Less emotion, more logic.
Pretty much. It's wiring yourself for actual improvement, not just feeling good or bad based on someone else.
That's a really practical takeaway. Okay, another big one you talk about is actions versus beliefs. The quote, "You can only find out what you actually believe by watching how you act."
Yes. Poker is just. It's brutal for revealing this.
How so?
Well, you say you're disciplined. You say you only play premium hands. Mm. But then someone raises, you're feeling the pressure, maybe a bit bored, and suddenly you're calling with, well, junk.
Ah, been there.
Right. That action in that moment showed what you really believed. Maybe you feared missing out. Maybe you overestimated your skill post-flop. Whatever it was, the action revealed it.
So it's like your actions under fire are the raw data of your actual priorities.
Sure.
It shows the gap between the strategy you think you have and what you do.
Precisely. And from a decision science view, analyzing those moments is gold. Why did I deviate? What underlying belief or fear drove that action?
It forces you to align intention and execution.
Exactly. Are my moment-to-moment choices actually serving my long-term goals? In poker, in business, anywhere.
And behaviorally, it makes sense, too. We're not always fully aware of our own motivations, are we?
Not at all. Sometimes they're pretty hidden.
So observing our actions is like creating this external log that our conscious mind can then analyze. Like, huh, I keep doing that. Why?
You got it. It helps spot those subconscious patterns, biases, maybe. It's a real aha moment when you see it. Look where you spend your time, your money, your energy that shows your real beliefs.
Actions speak louder than words, indeed. Which kind of leads nicely into the next idea, fundamentals. Set your house in perfect order before you criticize the world. What's the house in poker?
Ah, the foundation. It's the unglamorous stuff sometimes.
It's
like
just
solid bankroll management. Seriously. Knowing you can afford to lose this buy-in without it hurting your life. That's huge.
Removes a layer of pressure, I imagine.
Totally. And understanding basic probabilities.
Yeah.
What are the odds here? Is this a plus EV spot long term? And maybe the biggest, emotional control.
Ah, tilt.
Tilt, yeah. Not letting a bad beat send you spiraling. Not letting a big win make you feel invincible. Keeping steady. That's ordering your house.
It's so easy to blame the cards or that other player who made a weird call.
Oh, always. It's human nature. But if your own house isn't in order, if your bankroll is shaky or you don't really grasp the odds, or you tilt easily, then those external factors just become convenient excuses.
You're not addressing the root cause.
Right. Decision science tells us, master the things you can control.
Right.
Your knowledge, your bankroll discipline, your emotional state. That optimizes your choices regardless of what the world or the deck throws at you.
And I guess neurologically, blaming the outside world just fuels negativity, right? That tilt cycle.
Exactly. It triggers frustration, anger. But focusing inward on what you can improve, that engages problem solving. Okay, that hurt, but how could I have played it better? Was my assessment off?
So it shifts from victim mode to learning mode.
Precisely. It provides that solid structure for consistent results, not just reacting to chaos.
Makes sense. Now, poker sounds mentally draining. You also talk about self-care. Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping.
Yeah, this one's important, especially in high-pressure games.
How does that work practically? It sounds a bit soft for poker.
Huh. Maybe, but it's strategic. Poker's a marathon, right?
Yeah.
You need mental stamina. Recognizing when you're tired, frustrated, approaching burnout, that's crucial.
So stepping away when you need to, not grinding through a bad session just because.
Exactly. And self-compassion after a loss. Beating yourself up doesn't help. Analyze, learn, sure. But don't destroy your confidence. Variance happens. You wouldn't berate someone you care about for hitting a patch of bad luck, would you?
Probably not.
So don't do it to yourself. Think long term. Focus on the process. Protect your mental capital.
Okay, so from a sustainability perspective, self-care maintains focus and resilience. It prevents burnout, which lets you make better decisions over the long haul.
Right. And think about the neuroscience. Self-compassion actually triggers reward pathways in the brain. It can reduce stress hormones, help regulate those wild dopamine swings after big pots.
Ah, so it actively counters the stress response.
Yeah, it helps you stay motivated, stay rational, and avoid those costly, impulsive, emotionally driven mistakes. So for anyone listening, think of self-care not as an indulgence, but as a core part of your strategy for success in anything demanding.
That's a great reframe. Okay, let's shift to goals. What you aim at determines what you see. How does that play out?
Massively.
Yeah.
In poker, if your only aim is win this session, you interpret everything through that lens.
A lost pot is just failure.
Right. You might miss tells. You might miss learning opportunities because all you see is the negative outcome. You get tunnel vision.
But if your aim is, say, improve my bluffing frequency or understand my opponent's ranges better.
Then suddenly even a lost pot can be valuable data. Okay, my bluff didn't work there. Why? What did I miss? What does that tell me about this player? The goal changes what information you even notice.
So the focus shifts from pure outcome to process and learning. Decision science would love that.
Totally. It encourages rational analysis. Losses become feedback, not just failures. You're optimizing for long-term understanding.
And neurologically, having clear learning goals helps the prefrontal cortex filter information, right?
Yeah.
Prioritize what's relevant to that goal.
Exactly. Without that clear aim, emotion takes over. Wins feel great, losses feel terrible, but the learning gets lost in the noise. Different goals literally make you see the same game differently.
Fascinating. Okay, let's bring in some ideas from your book, There Is No Limit, like no limit. You talk about lopsided risk and the poker lobotomy mindset.
Yeah, these tie a lot of it together. The book emphasizes looking at the quality of your decisions, the process, not just whether you won or lost the hand.
And lopsided risk, what's that about?
It's about asymmetry. Structuring your plays, your bets, your life choices even, so that the potential upside is way bigger than the potential downside.
So small risks for potentially huge rewards.
Kind of. Calculated risks, yeah. It's about creating optionality, putting yourself in positions where you could benefit massively if things go well, but the cost of being wrong is manageable.
Like a small bet on the river that could win a huge pot if you're right.
That's one example. Or in life, maybe try the side project. Low cost, potentially life-changing upside. It connects to ideas from the startup world I mentioned in the book.
Like burn rate.
Yeah, in poker, that's your bankroll management. How long can you sustain the variance? Agile development is like adjusting your strategy on the fly based on new information at the table.
Constantly iterating.
Right, and pivoting, completely changing your approach if the game dynamic shifts or your initial read was wrong. Vital skill.
These definitely translate beyond poker. Startups, investing, careers.
Absolutely. And the poker lobotomy mindset underpins it. It's about, well, trying to strip away the emotional noise.
The tilt, the euphoria, the fear.
All of it. Making decisions based on logic, probability, game theory, thinking about what the other players might have, what their likely actions are, and what your best response is, mathematically and strategically.
Sounds intense, like emotional regulation on steroids.
It is. Yeah. Managing those dopamine hits and drops is key. You want your prefrontal cortex driving the bus, especially under pressure, not your amygdala.
And failure.
Failure is data, not drama. That's a huge part of it. Every mistake, every bad beat, it's information. Analyze it objectively. Learn from it. Adjust. Don't let it become an emotional catastrophe. Resilience and rational analysis, that's the edge.
Wow. Okay, so bringing this all home, we've covered focusing inward on growth, not outward comparison.
Uh-huh. Aligning your actions with your actual beliefs.
Mastering the fundamentals, setting your house in order.
Prioritizing self-care as a strategy.
Understanding how your goals shape what you even perceive.
And finally, embracing rational decision-making, lopsided risk, and that emotionally regulated poker lobotomy mindset.
Yeah. It's a powerful toolkit, rooted in poker, but like you said, the applications seem incredibly broad.
That's the hope. The principles translate. Navigating uncertainty, making better choices, that's relevant to everyone.
Definitely. So maybe a final thought for our listeners. Where's one area in your life you could consciously shift from comparing yourself to others to focusing purely on your own progress from yesterday? Just one small shift.
Or maybe think about a recent action you took. Did it really align with what you say you believe? What did that action reveal?
And perhaps where could you apply that idea of lopsided risk? Where could a small calculated risk potentially open up a much bigger opportunity? Something to chew on.
Lots to think about.
Indeed. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today and sharing these insights.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.